You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we're talking Nats baseball. We bring in our Nationals reporter for MLB.com, Jamal Collier. Jamal, latest news is that the Nationals are interested in a few Marlins. They're continuing fire sale down there in Miami. Nats are looking at JT Realmuto and Christian Yelich. How strong are those interests?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, Realmuto makes a lot of sense for the Nats. Man, you look at a team that's pretty set in most of their positions, but the one kind of clear need they have or clear place they could upgrade would be catcher. And Realmuto is one of the best hitting catchers in baseball. He's a guy who's young and affordable, and he would just kind of make a lot of sense if you could put him on this in this Nats lineup. And you're really talking about 1-8, a team with no holes. You know, if he can put him there behind the plate and maybe complement him with Weeders or potentially move Weeders. But, that is a strong interest, I think, for the Nationals. It makes a lot of sense. They checked in on him at the winter meetings. At that point, the Marlins didn't plan on moving him. Since then, they've kind of a little bit changed their tune and are willing to listen to some offers here. But it would take a pretty substantial haul to get him. I think that's kind of where the roadblock is, you know, for a guy like Realmuto, who, like you said, is young, does have the years of control and has been so good. A lot of teams are going to be interested. The Marlins are going to want a really good prospect back, especially after the couple of trades they had with Stanton and Ozuna, you know, where really the prospects weren't necessarily the focus. You're going to have to give up a pretty good prospect. And whether the Nats are willing to part with a guy like Victor Robles or Juan Soto, one of those top guys, would kind of be the big kind of the decision here, whether or not they're willing to go to that price. And I'm not necessarily sure they're there yet. You're looking at a guy like Realmuto or even Yelich as well. Yelich is a little bit different. Obviously, the Nats don't have a need for him. They have their outfield is pretty set. But when you have a guy who's as good as he is and as young as he is and has years of control, it could be enticing to the Nats for that reason as well.
But Jamal, the craziest part about this is that we're hearing that the Marlins want three minor leaguers and an MLB starter for each player, not for both, but for each. Could the Nats actually afford a mega deal to get both of these guys in exchange for six minor leaguers and two MLB starters?
Yeah, I mean, I think on one hand, the Nats are one of the few teams who actually have those kind of pieces. You know, you look at they have the top sort of prospects, Robles, Soto, are guys who are you know, top 50 or so prospects that people would be interested in. They have guys, potentially Michael Taylor, you can move. If you move a guy like Matt Weeters or you move, you know, somebody else, maybe on your starting rotation or something, you have pieces there that they could potentially make that deal make sense. It's just about what exactly the Nats would be willing to pay, especially for a guy like Yelich, who would be a bit of a luxury and something that you don't necessarily need. And even to an extent, Realmuto. So he'd definitely be an upgrade. He definitely could use that, you know, sort of new catcher. But, you know, do they go and pay that sort of price for you know, a guy when they already have this kind of money committed to a catcher? I'm not necessarily sure they'd willing to go that far. They definitely have the pieces that could make that work.
Well, and the fact that Victor Robles is even being mentioned is a little scary for Nationals fans because he's been so highly touted and hyped and, you know, they've been excited to see what he could do so far. Is that something they would actually move Robles?
I will say this, you never say never, obviously, but, you know, based off from the winter meetings, Rizzo was asked about this and just based off the tune just that I'm getting from people in the organization, it would be very difficult to see a scenario where they would move Victor Robles. We've heard about the hype about him. We saw what he did in that kind of limited action, making the majors last year and for the final month of the season, making his way onto the playoff roster. And, you know, he's a guy who has been touted as one of the outfielders of the future, whether it be in center field or wherever it might be. He makes so much sense, obviously, with him. You have him as insurance for Michael Taylor this year. You know, whether or not Bryce Harper is on your team after this next season. You have Robles waiting in the wing potentially to take that spot. So it would be very difficult to see a scenario where they would move him. And they definitely would not do it lightly. So I think that I would breathe a little bit easy and think that it would, you know, it would take a lot of convincing or something would have to happen to trade him. But it's something that, you know, we've seen. Their window is right now and their time to kind of strike is right now. And I think if they feel this trade makes them that much better, we saw last year with the way they kind of moved prospects, kind of a little bit out of norm to them, that they realize that their chance to win is right now. And, you know, maybe they can make that move.
Jamal, you sent a tweet out that made me smile as I'm looking out my window here and watching it seemed like the world end. But Nats fans, to get our mind off the snow, pitchers and catchers report to spring training on February 14th. So it's right around the corner. Let's talk about this rotation. 1-4 is pretty set with Scherzer, Strasburg, Gio, and Tanner Roark. They were looking to potentially acquire a fifth starter in free agency, but let's say they go with an in-house candidate. What's their opening day rotation look like?
Yeah, you know, if I had to predict that right now, as far as the way things set up, AJ Cole really finished the year pretty strong last year. He's a guy who's out of options. He's kind of went up and down and bounced around the minor leagues over the past couple of seasons between the minors and majors. And I think that they saw those strides in him he made over his last six or so starts, where he had about a 3 ERA. I think if you had to start the season right now, they probably feel more comfortable starting the season with AJ Cole in that fifth starter spot, with potentially Eric Fetty ready to kind of take his, potentially move into that rotation if something were to happen, later on in the season. But I think with Cole did that last, handful of starts there over the last month or so of the season, kind of really improved his stock with the organization, and they feel pretty good about his potential going forward.
All right, sounds good. Let's talk about this lineup. Now that Adam Eaton is back and he is healthy, it's going to be interesting to see where he fits into this lineup and how it all shakes out. Where do you see him batting, and then how does the rest of the lineup unfold?
I'm actually pretty interested in how the lineup is going to go. Obviously, got a new manager in Dave Martinez, and he said he's a guy who learned under Joe Maddon. And we know Joe Maddon was known to get creative with his lineups at time from time to time. And I think that, Dave Martinez has said over the last couple of months since he's gotten his job that he's jotted down a bunch of different lineups and a bunch of different kind of ways these guys all fit in. The one thing we do know about this is that he does feel like Adam Eaton is going to be the leadoff hitter. So I think that you'll see Eaton probably at number one for the most part, at least to start the year. But where everybody else falls in, does he hit Bryce second? Does he, hit him down at third? Anthony Rendon was a kind of a popular, where does he slot into that lineup? Will we see the pitcher hitting eighth? The names are pretty much set. The Nats have pretty much got everybody, settle into what positions they'll be. But, how these guys stack up is going to be kind of pretty fun to see exactly how Martinez kind of sees this all, stacking up. And I think during spring training will be kind of the first glimpse of that, where you'll see him probably try a bunch of different lineups in a bunch of different scenarios. Where does Trey Turner fit into that, as well as kind of an interesting one that I think that, I'll be looking forward to watching that in spring training to see how he, has a different lineup out there every day.
If you're the Nats manager, give me your lineup as it stands right now.
Man, all right, put me in a hot seat here. I would probably go with Eaton, Turner 1-2, Bryce, Rendon, Murphy, Zimmerman. That kind of breaks up the righty lefty matchup there. I think pretty much 1-6, and then you can put. I think you have Wieters. I'd may go Wieters pitcher hitting eighth, and Michael Taylor hitting ninth. That's where I'd probably go. Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Why Taylor so far down?
I think that he, with the power and speed combo, I like him a lot as in that second leadoff spot, more so than him hitting, seventh or eighth and kind of being not somewhat buried, but kind of just being somewhat in that mix there. I like him as a second leadoff hitter. I think that that's a chance for him to kind of get some good pitches to hit and really make an impact. But, I'd probably try that and see where it goes and be willing to adjust if not.
Okay, sounds good. Let's move on to the bullpen. We've got Kinsler, Madsen, and Doolittle, the little law firm there, top relievers for this team, 7, 8, 9 guys. How do they bridge the gap, though, from these dominant starters to, this kind of team that they've assembled or that they assembled last year at the trade deadline? The biggest issue for them was bridging the gap. What's going to change from, this year that they weren't able to do last year?
Well, I'll say this. This is probably the best Nats bullpen that they've had in January in the last couple of years. Because it's normally at this point we're questioning, well, who's going to close and who's going to pitch the eighth and who's going to do this. And that's pretty settled right now. And I think that that's a testament to, the trades they made and re-signing Brandon Kinsler that, for once, they feel really good about their end of the bullpen right now. There are some question marks, mainly with health. Sean Kelly and Coda Glover are the two biggest ones. And if those guys, at least one of them can be healthy and really give them the kind of performance they've seen from Coda and glimpses that they saw from Sean Kelly a couple years ago when he was more healthy than last year, that's going to be a really, a big weapon that goes to the back of that bullpen as well to help kind of get and bridge the gap there. I think they feel confident with Sammy Solis. Another guy's had some health question marks, but they feel good about him and Andy Ramirez from the left side as well. So they've got some options. They've got some guys who fit into the bullpen roles, and I think will be able to make an impact. The question is just with health with a lot of those guys. But if they can get a couple of those guys healthy and become a little more reliable, then I think their bullpen is going to stack up pretty well.
Any questions about Kinsler, Mattson, and Doolittle over the full season?
You know, not really. I think that's going to be – they have to figure out how to manage them, because now if we talk about health issues, Mattson and more recently Doolittle have had some arm injuries in the past. And I think that one of the things I thought that they did pretty well at the end of last year – now Doolittle pitched a lot kind of at the end of the year, but for a while they were not throwing those guys too – and when you have all three of them, you don't have to necessarily rely on them for three in a row or four out of five too much early in the season, because if Doolittle's pitched back-to-back days, you can give him a day off and use Mattson as your closer. You know, if both those guys have pitched a lot, you can slide Kinsler into the closing role, because he's done it before, has experience in that role. So I think that, you know, if you balance the three of them and give guys days off and don't use them all the time, and especially when you have starters that will probably pitch deep into the game like they do, they should be able to manage it well enough to kind of hopefully, you know, lessen the load a little bit on these guys' arm. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good point you bring up that these guys also have a little bit of injury history. But, you know, I think they feel pretty good with the three of them back together. They can kind of stagger it a little bit and, you know, lighten the workload on them.
All right. And finally, as we wrap up the podcast here, Jamal, I'm going to ask you, and we've talked about this a little while here for a couple weeks, but what do you believe as we start the new year and we turn the calendar? I know that the Nats just ripped up their entire surface down there of the field, trying to hopefully exercise some demons. What do you believe their New Year's resolution is for 2018?
Yeah, I think the New Year's resolution is to definitely win a playoff series. You know, if you want to start small there, it would be to at least get to the NLCS. And kind of big picture would be that, was to, you know, bring the first World Series back to D.C. And I think that, you know, they've made a lot of moves based off the end of the season, and every kind of move they've made has been geared on making another run at a team they think is going to have a chance to win a championship. So, you know, the Nats are really going to be focused on October for this year. And I think that the ride into is going to be pretty interesting to see how they can get there and how far they can go.
All right. Like you pointed out, the first full squad workout is February 21st. It can't come soon enough, man. The snow is killing me. All right, Jamal, thanks so much. That's going to do it for us here on MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Dapp. Big thanks to Jamal Collier, and we will talk to you next week.